Welcome to the Aviator Zone Podcast. Aviator Zone Podcast. With your host, Captain Felipe Santiago. Flying stories, career advice, and a lot of hangar talk. Let's talk aviation.
Hi, and welcome back to the Aviator Zone Podcast. Today we have a very special guest, a guest that not only was an instructor here at the academy before, but also a flight attendant who went from the back of the cabin to the front of the cabin. Marilera Ballesteros, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Mari, so I want to talk a little bit about your career and kind of share your story because it's a very unique story. So one that, you know, being an airline pilot now, I'm sure you hear a lot of the back cabin come to you and say, hey, I want to be a pilot, or I want to move, you know, move from the back of the cabin to the front. So let's start a little bit with how you started flying and how did you become a flight attendant? Tell me a little bit about that whole process.
Well, I was 20 years old on a newspaper. I used to live in Colombia. I'm from Colombia. And Avianca was looking for flight attendants. And I met the requirements. So that just, you know, click. It's a job that I could do. So I applied and I got the job. I worked there for, I don't know how many years, 7, 8 years. Every time, you know, that I had the chance or the opportunity, I would go to the cockpit and start talking to the pilots, asking questions. What do you do with the button? Was that? Oh my God, so many buttons everywhere. So I was always amazed of, you know, the cockpit, but it was too expensive. It was in Colombia, it was almost impossible for me to study aviation. So, a lot of years went, you know, by. I saved money. I bought an apartment.
Here or in Colombia?
In Colombia. And then I moved to Bogota. I sold my apartment in Barranquilla. And then I said, oops, now I have the money. So that's how I started. My boss at the time, my manager, she helped me with student, like, schedule for me to be able to go to study.
So you were studying for aviation while you were a flight attendant at Avianca?
Yes.
Okay.
So I used to go to Guaymaral in out of Bogota. It's, I don't know, like 30 minutes away from Bogota. So it was I don't know, an adventure to go there. So I used to wake up around 5, 6 in the morning, change. I had to take 3 buses. I didn't have a car.
And a bus in Colombia is not a bus in the United States.
So I had to take up 3 buses to be able to get to Guaymaral, to the airport. And I was there getting a ground school and also flying. And then run back home, change, you know, put my flight attendant uniform and go to work. Fly. Yeah, until midnight. I did that for about a year, year and a half. After that, I moved to Miami. I couldn't finish. I was married at the time. My ex-husband, he lost his job, and I had to stop flying. I couldn't, you know, we couldn't afford to continue paying for all that money. We moved to Miami.
So unlike, so the audience understands, in Colombia, there is no private pilot certificate.
Uh-uh.
So people just basically start with commercial. There's the only really certificate that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not here that you can start, get a private pilot, and then you stop or continue later on down the road. So you kind of stop without a license. You couldn't even fly an airplane at the time.
No.
Right. So then you came to Miami, and that's when you continued your training.
Yes, but I had to stop because at this point I was pregnant with David. So I stopped flying for 2 or 3 years. You know, I was taking care of, I had 3 kids. I was taking care of David. But I was sad all the time. Like something is missing. I wasn't flying. I wasn't doing what I wanted to do. And I started saving money again.
Back to the front.
Yes. My ex-husband, he didn't want me to be a pilot. He's a pilot, but he didn't want me to be a pilot. So, you know, there was not much support from him. In a way, he did, because as soon as I got a job, I started working as a flight attendant again with American Eagle.
So you work for American Eagle, the original Eagle?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So I started with American Eagle. I flew with the ATRs, I forgot the name, Executive Airlines. That was the only way to be based in Miami. So I was a flight attendant for Executive, and then I went to American as a flight attendant. So I had never stopped. Like, I'm always thinking about goals and how to get to the next step. I'm a little crazy. I have a notebook, and that notebook, I write down what I want to do and when I'm going to do it. So I start my planning that way. So I got divorced. I have my private here. And then
what airport did you learn to fly in the United States? Like
Tamiami.
So you went to Tamiami.
Yes. Okay, okay. This area.
Good.
So I was, it's expensive. I'm not going to say that it's going to be an easy step. You will have to have determination and, it's
the
not going
to
be.
You
have to be committed to be able to do it. I used to fly, stop flying, save money, go back to flying. So it took me a long time, about 14 years since I started flying until I got to the airlines.
And mind you, different times, right, when you were going through training, because, you went through the 2008 where the airlines were furloughing, mm-hmm. there was no pilot jobs. It was a very, tough time too during, 9/11.
That's when I arrived here, 2008.
Yeah. So that it was a struggle back then. It wasn't like you now that if you have a pulse, you're going to get a job. Uh-oh. It was a very tough time to become a pilot.
Yes. And, people are not encouraging you to do it. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. I don't care. If I don't get a job, at least I'm going to have, I'm going to say to myself, you did it.
Right.
And I stick to my plan. And, hour by hour, I was able to build the time and got all my license.
So you got your commercial, then you got your CFI.
Yes.
Okay. So that's normal, the normal path, right? So once you got your CFI, did you quit your airline job? Like, how did that work? So how did you make that work so that you can be an instructor and be an airline pilot a flight attendant at the same time?
That was an interesting time in my life. Everything needs, planning. I had great friends. They used to trade my trips. My friend used to take care of my schedule. So I used to fly at night with the airline and then go home, take a nap, and go to the flight school. I did that for a year and a half, and then COVID hit, and I took advantage of COVID because the company was offering the COVID-19 program.
Right.
So they were paying me, I would keep all my benefits, and they were paying me 19 hours. So I said, this is my opportunity, and that's when I met you. Remember that?
Yeah, so I do remember that. I remember having the conversation of calling to hire you. I mean, I remember exactly where I was. I was in a parking lot. I was going to a dinner. And on the way to the dinner, we're talking about, we really need another instructor. And then we called you. I think we called you right there and then. It was probably like 7 o'clock at night.
Yes.
And that's, you want to pass an interview with me? If I call you and I say something and you do go like, yeah, let's do go. Like, that's it. That's the attitude that I like, right? yes. Yes, people that are just, let's do it. So talk to me a little bit, because you had a prior job when I called you. You were in Alabama going to, you went to Alabama to go work for a school there.
Yeah.
How was that experience, going through that? I know it was a little
It wasn't a good experience. I didn't feel welcome in that
environment.
It wasn't a university.
So we're talking a university. I didn't even know it was a university.
Yeah, it was a university. I was behind. I was feeling behind. They have the planes that they had were more advanced to what I was flying before. So I was feeling behind. They have a really extensive curriculum, and I wasn't comfortable there. I was like, I don't belong here. I don't feel it. And then you call me. So you saved my life. And so, it was perfect for me because it was, back to Miami. And
I think that's another thing, that homesickness of being away from Miami. And, I'm on board. Like, I love Miami. So leaving, going into a foreign base.
Yes.
With people that, you don't grew up with. Plus, you were older than the general CFI pool, right? So that also puts a different... How old were you when you changed from being a flight attendant to a pilot? Like
my recent job?
No, like when you became a CFI, how old were you when you were becoming a CFI?
40, I think.
40. So I'm not trying to age you, but I'm trying to...
I'm old.
No, not necessarily. But what I want to show is that, hey, you still have time. Like, a lot of people are, I'm stuck in this for a life, and this is the only thing that I have available to me because I'm too old, and that's it. Like, there's always time. And that's kind of why I wanted to bring that up. So you got the phone call. We hired you.
I know. I'm so grateful with both of you because that, you know, that was the right time for me. Everything happened.
Like, for a reason.
Yes.
So you came to us and you were with us for, I would say, a short time. How?
Yeah, I think a year, year and a half.
Year and a half. We were very busy during COVID. Oh, so our instructors were flying a lot. We were doing a lot of training. A lot of people were like, this is the perfect time to become a pilot.
It was a blessing.
So 1,500 hours gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start the airlines.
Yes. It's amazing. Everything in my life have been like, I don't know, like connected. As soon as I finished my flying time, I had to go back to American as a flight attendant. So that's why I left my CFI job, because I already had the hours and now I had to go back.
Because of COVID, at that time, the COVID relief went away.
Yes, away. And they called me back. But yes, on time.
Perfect. I got my 1,500, you can call me back. So then, at what point did you quit, or how did you do that transition from a flight attendant to a pilot? Like, is there something that American had? Because now you're working for American, no? Or you were still with Eagle?
I'm still with, it's Envoy.
But you were a flight attendant for Envoy. So you transitioned from the flight attendant to a pilot. Did they have some type of program, or how did that work? Tell me a little bit about that time.
The company has that program, but it wasn't good for me because you have to start from zero, and it's a big loan. You know, it worked for someone that has 0 hours because you have to take the loan, quit your job, and go full time to study. I couldn't afford to do that. Right. With three kids, and it wasn't good for me, so I had to keep my flight attendant job. The way I did it, I was a flight attendant for American, and I applied like anyone else. I applied, and I got it. 3 months after I went back to my flight attendant job, they called me, and I passed the interview and all the process and switched to be a pilot.
Talk to me about training and that whole experience of going from, you know, the training that we have here versus, you know, training, you know, your flight school training here, and then boom, the airlines.
That was tough. I lost 20, 21 pounds.
So if anybody looking to save some weight.
It's stressful. It's a lot of information. It's a big jump. From flying a small plane as simple, because our planes are simple, right? Mm-hmm. And then go through a more advanced plane, especially the aircraft that I'm flying, the Embraer 175, is automation. So it's a lot of buttons that you have to know what to do, when
it's
to
a programming.
Push it. Yes, it's everything is about the automation. And it was hard, like learning. And it's another language, so I used to study like twice because I would go to the ground school and I would listen, and then something that I missed because I didn't know what it means, I had to write it down and then, you know, Google it and to make it sense in my brain. Oh, that's, you know, that was the only way for me to do it, studying double.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize, but even the time that you spend in an online, in a training event for an airline, it's not that you go for the ground school for, you know, 8 hours a day and then you go to the hotel and go relax and eat. It's you go grab a bite and then meet with your sim partner. And now we're going to go over flows, memory items, limitations, and systems. Like it's a continuous thing. Like it's your full time. It's nonstop. Mm-hmm. Until you pass that check, right? It's nonstop.
Yes.
Being a female pilot, what do you feel like? Have you feel like any difference, or like now in our industry, like, do you feel that you get treated different by any chance, or is it just like you're just one of the pilots?
Most of the time, I'm treated the same way. You know, I don't expect the pilots to do anything for me. I make fun of myself because when it's snowing or raining, I'm like, yeah, I wanted to be strong and independent, so I have to go and do the free flight. So sometimes a captain will say, Mari, it's boring. I will do the pre-flight. No, I will do it. It's fine. I have my umbrella.
So it's been a positive experience.
Yes.
I know some females have this, you know, oh, you know, I can't do this because it was a female. And especially like in your background too, right? Avianca 20 years ago was a very different company.
Mm-hmm.
And probably still today is very different than what it is, you know, here in the United States, right? So
yes.
I was like, if you wanted to be a female, an aviator in Avianca back then, it was a very different feeling, right? Versus
yeah.
now, probably a little bit different. But it's good that you're telling me that your energy is, you know, they want to help you and you're like, no.
I can do it.
I can go outside.
I'm stronger in the family. No, I feel bad. I don't want to feel that I'm taking advantage of anyone. You know, that's my job.
Right.
The company is paying me for doing that. It doesn't matter if I'm a woman or whatever. I need to go and do my job. So I take it that way. And I like to go and walk because, you know, that we spend a lot of time sitting. So it's like a moment for me to go and breathe.
I like 70 degrees weather, clear skies. I'll go walk around.
Yeah, it's fun. And every time I go down there, you know, the rampers, the, you know, I talk to the flight attendants, to the passengers, to everybody. It has been nice. People even ask me if they can take pictures with me. It's so weird.
Celebrity.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, a lot of people, especially the places where we go, small places, and then they look, you fly this plane? Yes. So, you know, sometimes, can I take a picture? Yeah, sure. Can you hold my baby? Oh, yeah. So it's interesting.
It's funny because I have a little bit of a strong part of my heart for Envoy because they took Republic space.
I know. I'm sorry.
You know, I was a Republic crew, so I was based in Miami. So you're doing possibly the same flying that I was doing when I was a first officer on the regionals.
Yeah.
So how's that flying? I mean, I'm sure you're going to all the Caribbean.
Yes.
Are you flying still down to like Monterrey?
And yes.
You go down, like that's a 4-hour
flight.
I
just came back from Monterrey last week.
Yeah, that was a cool flight. I mean, I remember it's like regional flying. We were flying regionals, but we're going to Mexico, going down to Colombia.
Yeah, San Andres.
Are you guys flying into San Andres?
Yeah, I think that flight went away on May, I think. I'm not sure. I haven't done San Andres in a long time.
Funny story about San Andres. I was once flying with Republic. We're coming down. The captain we're going to Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
Right, regional.
Barranquilla, I think that you guys were doing. Yeah, I'm from Barranquilla.
And we're flying down there, and there's an area where you lose comms, at least back then.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no idea. Right. So we're like flying along and I'm like, hello, hello. And the captain's like, oh, shoot. I'm like, oh, God. So now I'm opening my flight, you know, my app, and I'm going like this. And I'm like, we're flying over this thing. And I'm like, there's a little dot here. What is this? And I zoom in.
San Andres.
So I call San Andres Tower. And of course, San Andres Tower, Brickyard, whatever, 4142. He's like, Brickyard, who's this? But he was really nice. He said, hey. There's a black spot there that you won't be able to call them. You'll be able to reach them on the next frequency, on this frequency. And we're like, oh, okay, well, that would have been good to know. But funny story about San Andres.
Yeah, that's funny.
What's your favorite place to go?
Key West is interesting because, you know, it's a short runway. It's a short fly, so everything, it feels good.
Like
now, I'm okay. At the beginning, you know, The plane, for me, the plane still was at the gate and we're landing the other place. Everything was so fast. And now it feels good. Like, okay, it's a 20-minute flight. I'm doing what I need to do. And sometimes the pilots let me land in there. So it's a short runway. It's a lot going on. So I like that.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember going to Key West. We used to have this thing at Republic where you're going to pick up a flight halfway through a pairing. So you can drop half of the trip.
Uh-huh.
So we had Miami, Key West, overnight. Key West, Miami.
That was cool.
So you're going into the afternoon, into Miami, go jump on the jet, fly 20 minutes down, overnight in Key West, and then fly back the next day, one leg back home. So it was like the perfect trip. But yeah, Key West always a challenge, right? Even with the Embraer, it's a short runway.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's happening quick.
Yes.
I mean, you're just literally coming in.
It's a lot of places that I like. Chicago is interesting too.
Yeah, busy airport. I remember the time, first time landing there.
Yeah.
You remember your first time landing there?
Yes, I was like, help me.
Where's the airport? Well, the thing about Chicago is that you land in the state next door, and then you taxi to Chicago is how
yes, it's insane. Yeah, it's but just... now it feels, you know, it's nice. I think that it's just that part of me that I struggle with this, and now I got it. So that's why I think that I like it. Like, okay, I got this.
Before we started this conversation, you told me that Captain is something soon happening.
Yes.
So next. Tell me a little bit about that. Are you starting to study now? Are
yes, you... I already started studying. Next month, I will have all the requirements to be a captain. I'm like 900 hours right now. I need 950 to be a captain. So I already have a line for next month. So next month, I'm ready.
So you... When you say you have a line, were you on a reserve schedule before?
Yes.
Or you were bidding reserve?
I'm bidding reserve.
So tell me the secret. Let's tell everybody the secret about bidding reserve.
So now I'm senior. So the company, they don't call me. They don't use me because I'm on the top of the list. So, you know, if someone gets sick, if a pilot gets sick, they start from below. And the senior mama is up there. So. No, I need it. I wanted to have a break. I have been home taking care of my family, my kids. It's hard sometimes for them. Having taken my son to practice, soccer practices. So I needed that. I needed a little break.
As a single mother, it could be yeah. a little more of a challenge.
Yes. And my son was telling me that, you know, you're working a lot and saying, don't worry, I'm going to take a little break. So it has been like 3 months that I have been on reserve. But last week I picked a trip because, you know, you forget how to do things if you don't practice.
In a month you forget.
Yes.
That's a good advice. I would say fly as much as you can now before you go into, you know, captain upgrade, because it could be, you know, you want to be as fresh as possible, right? Like,
that's my plan. I already talked to the kids. My kids are grown. Like the little one is 14, so I'm not gonna say the age of the other two. That's my little sister. That's my joke with my daughter.
This is your younger
sister.
Yeah,
she's my little sister.
No, but it's good because honestly, I mean, even for myself, like I fly very little. And when you come back into the jet, you're like,
yes, behind.
You forget, like mm-hmm. you know, like. Originating, receiving, you know, no, wait a minute, we changed that, cockpit preparation check. Yeah. You know, it's like you lose your flow. And then, but again, you fly like 2 days and then
and
you're like,
back.
Oh, you're back on your dance. Yeah, you know, it's like your cadence again, you got that good. So what do you think, are you going to be based in Miami after you get your...
Hopefully. So my plan is now, you know, I'm going to start flying as much as I can. And I should go to training maybe in after January. I should go to training. So I'm going to, you know, I already start studying. I have my notebook and start, you know, it's not that you don't know the things, but now you need to more, you know, go deeper into everything.
Right.
So, and now I'm going to be like an instructor again because I'm going to be flying with new hires. So I start preparing myself for Captain Upgrade already.
Especially now where we're getting so many new people into the airlines.
Yes.
You know, it's a completely different world. Even for me that I fly, you know, for Spirit, we still have a lot of guys that are coming, you know, straight from flight school into an Airbus.
Yes.
And it's not only learning to fly the airplane, but learning the cadence of the airlines, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if for someone to move from a regional to mainline,
yeah.
You know, you already know how to get to Chicago.
Yeah.
You already know how to taxi and move through LaGuardia and the procedures and all that stuff. So you're not learning airline operations plus the new airplane.
Uh-huh.
You're just learning the operation. So talk to me about that. Do you feel that your captains are, especially when you are a new hire, like your captains are basically instructors? Like how was that experience when you got on the line?
Yeah, we have great captains with Amboy. Most of them, it's, you know, everywhere you're going to find people that are not nice.
Yeah, you're going to have your bad apples everywhere.
It's not that I have three of them that I don't want to fly with. But that's the way they are. It's the personality. But most of our captains are amazing. I have many friends. We used to fly as fly instructors in the other schools. And, you know, we're still friends. And every time I have a question, I call my friend, hey, this and that. So I always had someone there for me, captains.
especially in Miami, people don't realize how small aviation is.
Oh,
like,
yes.
It's such a small community. For as many people as there are in aviation, like, it's very small. You know, the guy that, I'll give you a story. I have, funny about that. One of the captains that I had on my, the only captain I had on my no-fly list.
Only one?
Only one.
Oh my God, I'm bad.
I only have one captain on my no-fly list. And he was not fun. In fact, the only flight that I did with him was a Key West flight, talking about Key West. It was Miami, Key West, Key West, Miami. Well, guess where he's a first officer now?
No way.
And guess who's senior?
Oh, no way. You see?
So that's, it's like one of those, it's amazing how this thing, you know, you don't know. One day, the guy that is mistreating you or whatever is going to be your co-pilot on another airline.
Oh my God. Imagine if that happened with those three guys. But I'm going to be kind to them.
It's you know what? I thought the same thing. Everybody's like, oh, you should be exactly like how he did to you. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? No. And these guys don't probably even remember because that's just a personality. That's just, they're like that with everybody else, you know? And it's sad, but unfortunately that's, you know, that's a, every job has the people that you're like, I don't really want to hang out with that guy, but you got other people that are really, really good.
No, most of our captains, since, you know, they were always teaching me, this plane has too many ways to do one thing. So, they get used to a technique and they like it, and that's the way they fly the plane. So being a first officer, you're always flying with different pilots, captains, and all of them teaching you techniques. So it has been a learning experience. It
you're
has
a
been
chameleon.
Really, I know.
You're, as a first officer, you're always changing, like, okay, this captain likes this, or he likes the paper over here.
Yes.
This guy likes the paper over here. Mm-hmm. And you kind of learn that as you go. But I think the important part is that you're going to see a huge change once you become
a captain.
Because now you're no longer a chameleon. You get to set the tone.
I know. You know what I have been doing? Because I don't want... The captains, they want you to fly the way they fly. Because that's the way they feel comfortable, right? And I don't like that. I like to fly the way I want to fly. But he's a captain. You have to, you know...
Yeah, you kind of follow.
Respect that. And I have been practicing all the different techniques that I have learned. And I'm not committed to any of them. So I fly different every time, because when thinking that I'm going to be a captain, and if the first officer, he's flying in this way, I'm going to let him do it because I'm not, you know, I'm comfortable with it too.
Right. And I think it comes down to comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I think if a captain is more like, oh, I don't like that, or do it this way because it's better.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lack of confidence or understanding of how the airplane works.
Yes.
I always flew the plane, but I've always been a little bit more of a hardhead. But I always flew the plane how the company wanted to fly it.
Uh-huh.
And if they deviated from it, I'll be like, yeah, okay. And, you know, kind of do it. But I still always flew the exact same way, exactly how the company wants me to fly. Can I fly outside of it? Of course, you know. But the best advice for that is to stick to what the company wants and fly. When you become on that side, fly with what the company wants. And then it's like...
It's just that
nobody can challenge you at that point, right? Once you have, like, once you're flying, if the company wants it this way, it's like, okay, I'm following SOPs.
Yes. The deal with this plane is that it has too many, you can do one thing too many ways, pushing different buttons. So if you want to descend, you can hit a button that says descend now, or you can put nav the lower altitude and the plane's going to do it by itself, or you can start, it's too many ways. You can go vertical speed, you can go, it's insane. It's like seven ways to descend.
I'm an X on vertical speed. I hate vertical speed.
Really?
Yeah, I know, like, I see, honestly, vertical speed is a 91... you know, charter thing. Like, everybody that uses vertical speed is because they're coming from that area. And you're going to see that when you fly. Oh, what did you do before? I used to fly charter. Vertical speed. Because they're always like, oh, passenger comfort and this and that. It's like, I'm flying economy. Like, I'm flying most efficient, point A to point B, saving the amount, you know, the most amount of gas. So for me, it's like, I fly managed, because that's what the Airbus wants.
Uh-huh.
And you know, kind of like the same thing with the Embraer, right? It's a very modern airplane. I call it the baby bus. Even though the baby bus is more advanced than the Airbus, but I call it the baby bus. I feel like, you know, the majority of the people that do that are 135 guys or 91 guys, and really vertical speed at high altitudes can get you in trouble. I remember, I think even the 175 has the same risk. If you go vertical speed at altitude, it'll stall out, right? I think it kicks off the autopilot. I don't remember exactly on the 175.
I don't remember that. No, I haven't heard about that. But no, for descent, you can, with the company, you can use vertical speed path, flight level change.
No, you can use whatever, even at Spirit, like we can use whatever, but it's really not recommended when you're climbing up at the flight levels and you're heavy and, you know.
Climbing. Yeah, climbing. But for this, I was talking about descent. No.
Descent is fine.
Flight level change, we never use vertical speed.
Yeah, but you'll see some guys, when you go to the captain's side, you're going to see some guys, I guarantee you, they're going to use vertical speed, and you're like, hey, you know, you might want to switch to flight level. It's hard, right? Because you don't want to be like, hey,
I know,
use flight level change. You know, like, you don't want to be that guy or girl, but you're going to be like, hey, you might want to use this, and here's why.
Okay. You know that it's hard for me. That part is hard for me being a woman, because most of the time I'm nice, you know my personality, always smiling and joking and you know, being tough. One of my instructors used to tell me, you're too nice, you're not a flight attendant anymore, you need to be, you know, say things louder, you sound timid. Mm-hmm. And I had to work on that for a long time, because I have to speak louder and I wasn't used to that, like with command. And now, you know, I'm getting there.
it comes with time, and you'll see. I honestly, like, upgrading for me was a huge, like, change. And when you're a co-pilot and you're sitting on the right seat, you're along for the ride. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yes, you have equal responsibility, you're still doing your job, but it doesn't feel the same. Once you switch seats and you sit on the, you know, you're flying the same airplane, you're doing the landings, you know, a lot of people have that misconception that only the captain lands and only the captain flies, the co-pilot is just sitting there to fan the captain when he's flying.
Oh, I don't have to do that.
No. I've been doing it. No, but really, like, haven't you been asked before?
Oh, yes.
Oh, do you fly?
Yes.
Of course we fly, people, right? Like, me, you know, it's
do
like,
you fly the plane? Do you actually... I was talking about a flight attendant, actually, a few months ago. We were talking about the landing. It was gusty, and I was fighting that freaking landing. And one of the flight attendants asked, oh, who landed? I said, oh, I did. He's like, oh, do you land the planes? I'm like, yes.
No, it is crazy. Even people in our industry, yes, don't realize that the co-pilot does everything that the captain does, you know, with the exception of taxi, but...
Yes, that's the difference.
And that's only in the United States. Like, in the majority of the other countries, the co-pilot even taxis the airplane on the ground. But
how was that experience? Because I'm worried about that too.
You're going to get so sick in the sim. You're like, just the best advice, nice and slow.
Okay.
Very slow, very small corrections, especially on the sim. Remember that tiller has hydraulics, mm-hmm, pushing that back and forth.
Yeah.
So it's very sensitive.
Okay.
So you literally didn't know.
Especially at night. I'm worried about that at night.
No, it's the same.
It's the same, okay.
You get used to it right away. Odyssey is really hard in the same, because you're pushing a lot of fluid back and forth when you move a little bit of that.
Okay.
And it's, you'd be like, yeah. And you have to taxi for your type, for your captain type.
Yes.
And you have to park it in the gate. It's funny because you have a marshaler and all that stuff and everything.
I know.
But
imagine a woman parking a plane.
There's no parallel parking, so don't worry.
The autopilot can take it on that. No,
it's so silly. But no, it's not. Honestly, like, it's super easy. But the biggest challenge is when you're on that left seat, now there's nobody to look and say, hey, you know, what do you think of this?
I know.
You know, you look, it's like people make the joke, you look to the left and you see the window and you see your reflection. It's like, I got to ask myself, you know, like, there's nobody there. And it's challenging when you fly with a first officer that doesn't have a lot of experience.
I know that the captain have been telling me that wait until, you know, you upgrade and you're brand new, and then you're flying with someone with less experience. And so now you're in charge. Mm-hmm. So you're doing your job and monitoring what the first officer is doing.
You're trying to catch your mistakes plus the mistakes of everybody else. So it really increases our workload, but it makes good pilots because you're constantly aware of exactly what's going on in the airplane.
Yeah.
It's very exciting stuff. I remember, one of the things that I really enjoy is flying with very senior guys. But you don't have that luxury at the regional, so I don't as much.
No, not many.
But I fly sometimes with captains that were, well, co-pilots that were captains, you know, at previous three different airlines, flew around the world. And those guys are actually, people think that, oh, because they were so experienced that they'll be the guys that are like trying to like say, oh, you know, I have more time than the captain and I'm more experienced than the captain. Those guys are the most relaxed, the most chill, most respectful. They'll be like, you know, captain this, captain that. It's very like, they're very professional. And they got so much information and experience that it's really nice. You'll see that once you go too.
That's really nice.
Do you have any plans for
I knew that you were going to ask me that. Yes, I have been going to conferences. I'm waiting. I think maybe at Women's in Aviation, I had a good chance to go to the big leagues. I have two companies that contacted me recently.
For an interview?
For the process. I don't have an interview yet, but two companies.
Two companies.
Yes.
I'm going to guess they're Miami based.
One of them. One of them.
That's good. That's good. I mean, this is part of our industry, right? Personal growth. You always, you know, you're always looking to be better and keep
and
going.
I'm going to fly the Airbus.
We'll ask you that question of who that company is off the podcast. But that's exciting stuff.
Yes.
So how's that going to look? Like, what do you feel, you know, do you think that's going to be sooner than upgrade? Or you think that you're probably going to have to go complete upgrade and then go through a training again?
Not sure. I'm not sure. But I'm expecting to upgrade at the beginning of next year. And I think that Women Aviation will have a good chance to go to mainline. It's coming. But you know what? I wanted to, everybody was like, oh, you should apply since I got to AMO. You should apply to this. No, I wanna go step, let me do my process. I wanna go step by step. I wanna go and get experience, know what I'm doing, and not come to a main, especially they were not gonna take me with low time. But people think that it's easy. Oh yeah, you're a female, you're gonna get, no, let me go through my process. I wanna finish, you know, I want to upgrade with Amboy and then I will see what happened. But I have been, you know, working on the side. So.
I mean, you remember, you know, yes, upgrades and even the mainlines are really quick now. But you at least have, you know, some years behind you, you know, of experience of flying again to all these airports and being in this environment.
Yes.
And even with, you know, even though you're flying regional, you're still flying international, you're going to other places and you're getting exposed. So you guys have extended over water as well.
Yes.
So, you know, it's one of those things that you're not coming to mainline with a belt, with no, a tool belt with no tools.
Yeah.
Right. You have a lot more tools now in that belt that you can pull out and use while you're working in the new job, which, you know, everybody likes to rush and move on to the next thing. And it's understandable, right? Better pay, better quality of life, you know. Nobody likes to say they fly for regional. Everybody wants to say they fly for a mainline.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but...
I don't know. I'm happy flying. This plane is awesome.
You know, I will tell you this. You will miss flying the regionals.
Really?
Yes.
The hotels are not nice sometimes. So I don't think I'm going to miss that part.
It's not the... For me, it's not... It wasn't even the hotels, but the people.
Okay.
Because we, you know, when you fly with your crew for the entire week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that relationship of the captain, co-pilot, flight attendants, you guys always hang out, right? Most of the time you hang out, you go to places together and you kind of, you're not by yourself in a hotel room.
Remember that I'm old. I'm older. So I don't fit in that.
Well, the majority, well, then you'll fit in with the mainline because we have a lot of slam clickers. Seriously.
Sometimes I go out with the crew, but most of the time I'm on my own. It's always something with the kids, you know, phone calls, my mom. I'm busy and I don't know. I'm not very like social, and not even when I'm home.
Any projects outside of the airlines? Any other future goals?
Not really. I have right now, I'm on airplane mode. It's all about my career. You know, I have been married. I have kids. Whatever a woman wanted to do, I already did it. So right now, this is my time to shine.
Awesome. Mari, thank you so much for coming. Before we close up, I just want to ask you one thing, one advice that you would give for somebody that is right now flying in the back of an airplane and wants to sit in that cockpit one day and wear that captain hat. What would you tell them to do?
Go for it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be challenging. But if you really want to do it, go for it. No matter what. I always say to the flight attendants, if I was able to do it with three kids, single mom, and all the responsibility and things that I had, anybody can do it.
There's no excuse.
No excuse. Mari, think about me.
They can reach out to you, I'm sure, if they want some guidance.
Yeah.
I mean, you're dealing with these people all the time. So, mm-hmm. Mari, thank you so much for coming to the show.
Thank you. It's been
really nice to bring your story. I kind of wanted to share the entire process because I think it's very important that people know that they have an opportunity to do something better. And that opportunity is there and available.
I'm going to take advantage of this to thank you and thank Juan because you guys are part of this. So thanks to you guys, I was able to get a job in the most difficult time. And here I am.
This is why we do this.
Oh.
Thank you so much, guys.
We hope you've enjoyed the show. For more of our content, search on YouTube for Aviator Zone. If you know someone we should have on the show, please reach out at podcast@aviator.zone.